All right, thanks, Lindsay. If you want to have your Bibles open, if you haven't already, to Psalm 147, and we're going to continue our series on the idea that of just tracing the names that are given to God through the Old Testament. Last week we had Gail talk to us about the God who sees us, which was really encouraging, that we're seen by God. And of course, we looked at the story of Hagar and Ishmael and the mess that got created there, and the way God stepped in, especially to advocate for Hagar, and saw her in her situation. Today, we're looking at Jehovah Rapha, which is similar, I guess. We looked at Rahor, which was Jehovah Rahor, which was the shepherd God, the God who is a shepherd. And today, it's the healing God. And as we think about the healing God, I did want to continue my journey on trying to teach you all Hebrew. There's the phonetic spelling, Rapha. Everyone say Rapha. Go on. No, go on. Everyone say Rapha. Okay, now say it with conviction. Okay, we'll work on that again later. Anyway, definition is to heal, to restore, to make whole, to purify, to repair, to take care of, to mend, to cure. That's a very holistic word in some ways. So when it says that he's the healing God, it's not just a word that you go, oh, it's physical healing, or it's spiritual healing, or it's emotional healing, or it's psychological healing. It doesn't work that way. It's a word that can be applied to any of those specifics, but also overall. The very first time we see this word used in the Old Testament is when it says, then Abraham prayed to God and God healed Abimelech, his wife and his slave girls, so they could have children again. Do you know the story? It's a bit of a messy story as well. It goes back to Abraham and Sarah as well. Abraham moves into a new part of town, and has his beautiful wife Sarah and thinks, if they realize that Sarah's my wife, they might kill me or do me an injustice, and so they can have her. So he said to Sarah, you say that you're my sister. And so Abimelech comes along and goes, oh, Sarah's very beautiful. She's not married. She's just Abraham's sister. I'll take her to be my wife. And then next thing you know, all the wombs in his family, in his household, are shut down by God. And so then there's a bit of talking happening between God and Abraham and Sarah and Abimelech, and they work it all out. And then there's a healing of undoing what God had put in place. That's the first time we see the word. There is a first time that we see it referred to God, and that's in Exodus 15:26b. I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians. So this is from Exodus. God's brought those diseases, those plagues upon the Egyptians, and finally his people come out, and there's some other things that happen, and God says, I'm not going to do to you what I did to them, for I'm the Lord who heals you. Now, what exactly does that mean in that context? There's the first reference of healing and God. Perhaps it's that his people are somehow broken and not whole and not complete. A part of his people was that his people would have a land, and maybe that was something that was still being worked out. Maybe they weren't sure about their identity as to who they were. Maybe there was a lot of dysfunction. Maybe they were broken in a number of ways. But God says, I'm the God who heals you. I'm the one who will make you complete and whole. And so God is the healer and potentially the healer of all brokenness. As we go through, you can think of specific examples. Psalm 41:3, if you were to go to that, is an example where God will heal sickness and infirmity. You go to Jonah 2, 5 to 7, and it seems to be about mental affliction. If you go to Psalm 23:3, you could suggest that, and we looked at Psalm 23 the other day, that it's the idea of being healed or made whole after spiritual fatigue. Then we've got Psalm 147:3, which is what we're looking at this morning, which is sort of a perhaps emotional suffering. I'm going to suggest it's more than just that. John 14:27, it's a part of a passage that we often read at funerals to do with anxiety and worry and how God is somehow going to make us whole in the midst of that. The interesting thing is that there is another part, and I don't know if your mind jumps to a Bible verse, but there is another place in the Old Testament where we hear about God healing. And we hear about God healing, and we hear about wounds, and how he's going to heal us, but the wounds are not ours. Do you know what I'm talking about? Isaiah 53. You excited? I'll just go to it. I can see you all want to know. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed. Now, just for a moment, we have a concept here, which is going to dip our toes in. And it's a concept that's foreign in some ways to this world, because this is God stepping into this world. But we have wounds. We need healing. And God somehow, through Jesus, is wounded and we are healed from his wounds. Now, we have an understanding of that, don't we? Our understanding is that Jesus is beaten. He has stripes upon his back. That's Isaiah, isn't it? By his stripes we are healed, some translations have. By the beatings that he got, by his crucifixion, by his death, by him being nailed to a cross, we are healed. Our sins are forgiven. We're made complete in some way. And so we have this reference that God is going to do this. Then God comes to earth in the form of a man, and he does this. This is what Jesus does. But Jesus doesn't just do this. Do you remember what Jesus did a lot of? Physical healing, didn't he? If you had leprosy and you could get to Jesus, you would go from being unclean to being clean, because he would heal you of your leprosy. If you were lame and you couldn't walk and your friends were able to get you to Jesus, or you are lucky enough to have Jesus walk past you, he might heal you and you'll be able to walk. If you were demon-possessed, he might be able to heal you. And then, of course, if you've been bleeding internally for 12 years and you're able to touch the hem of his garment, the bleeding would stop. And in John chapter 9, there's this great little picture of Jesus. A man is blind. Do you remember the story in John chapter 9? A guy is blind and his disciples say, "Who sinned, this guy or his parents, that he's blind?" And Jesus says, "Well, it was neither his parents or him. He's blind so that," do you remember? "That the works of God might be seen in his life." And this is where Jesus introduces something about our wounds, our brokenness, that somehow they're an opportunity for God's greatness, the healer God, to be shown through our weakness and our brokenness. And so John 9 is an interesting part of the discussion to bring in as we think about Jesus in the midst of all of this. But his wounds, they heal us, and God uses brokenness to heal and to make us whole. So let's have a look at Psalm 147. The first three verses are really key to what we're looking at this morning. I've got those on the screen for you. "Praise the Lord, how good it is to sing praises to our God, how pleasant and fitting to praise him." That's one of the reasons we sing. That's why we sang this morning. We want to praise him. We want to give him praise because of who he is. What is it, perhaps, about who he is that causes us to bring praise? And maybe the more broken we've been and the more healed we've been, the more loudly we will want to sing praises, perhaps. But it says this, the psalmist goes on to say, "The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the exile of Israel." There's a brokenness among his people. They're scattered, perhaps. They're without land. They've maybe been taken off into exile somewhere, whatever it is. And there's a brokenness, there's an incompleteness, there's an unwholeness about his people, and he is going to heal them. Notice that they will not heal themselves. He will heal them. Why can't they heal themselves? Because sometimes when you're really broken, you can't. But God can. And then, this is really why I picked this psalm. I love this verse. "He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds." The brokenhearted. What is the brokenhearted? Well, as I looked at the original language behind that, the brokenhearted, it's certainly the word used is a reference to heart, our inner being, who we are deep within. And if that's broken, if there's something wrong deep down in here, and it could be because of grief, it could be because of loss, it could be because of injustice, it could be because of physical pain, it could be all number of things that are broken us somehow deep within, we have this promise of this healer God. He heals the brokenhearted. And it's Him that binds up their wounds. Just think of Isaiah 53 for a moment. How does He fix my wounds? It would appear that ultimately somewhere in the mix is that He is wounded. It is at cost to Himself in some way, such as His love for me, such as His love for those who are broken, that He would want to somehow lift them up, somehow repair them, somehow fix them. When our inner being has been damaged, apparently He can make us whole. He can put us back together. I've got a little image there of a heart that is broken. He can somehow repair us, like the image on the right there. Now, just for a moment, the image on the right there of a heart being sewn up, does that not make you go, ooh, a little bit? Don't like the idea of being sewn up. Who's been sewn up? I've been sewn up. It's never good physically to be sewn up, is it? Something's gone wrong to be physically sewn up, and it's not pleasant, and hopefully they gave you something for the pain before they sewed you up. On the left, there's a picture of a knee. I want to tell you a story about me. You probably don't remember because it wasn't a big thing in your life, but it was big in my life, so let me tell you about it. In July 2020, I walked into hospital. Nobody forced me. I walked into hospital. Was I limping? No. I just walked straight in. Just normally, just walked straight into hospital. Why did I walk into hospital? Because I'd done something to my knee, and every now and again, my knee told me there's something wrong. And I went to a doctor, actually went to this specialist guy, and I said, I've got a problem with my knee, and he looked at a scan that had been taken, and he didn't talk to me at first. He actually left me in a room with his register, his sort of, you know, student doctor guy, who he wanted him to quiz me on everything with my knee, so that he could then come in and test him. So I was just a part of this process, really. Anyway, this guy says, you know, what do you do? I said, I pastor a church. Okay, what's happened with your knee? I told him what I knew. He said, okay, and asked him, did some things. And then the real expert comes in, and he says to me, don't you answer any of these questions. And then goes to his register, and he says, so what does he do? He's a pastor. He pastors a church. Okay. What happens? Oh, we had this event on this day and something happened. He's had some pain. Okay. He goes through all this stuff and then the register is silent. And the expert, you know, the specialist says, well, did you ask him? And the register goes, ask him what? He's a pastor. And the register goes, so? I'm thinking the poor register doesn't know what a pastor does necessarily. And the specialist goes, have you told him whether he'll be able to pray again? Because he has to get on his knees. That's his job. He kneels. And I'm sitting there going, I don't really kneel a lot. It's not a drama. I can do my job without kneeling. But anyway, the poor registrar, he was like, can you kneel? And anyway, I walked into hospital to have this surgery because the specialist told me I needed it. I walk into hospital and they did stuff to my knee and then I got wheeled out in a wheelchair. Is there a part of that picture that's wrong? I walked without a limp into hospital and I was wheeled out in a wheelchair. And yet the specialist had done what was required to heal me. That's the thing about healing at times, isn't it? That sometimes there's actually a wound that happens. I had a wound after coming out of hospital and having this healing operation. I had to be in a wheelchair for a while, and then when I started to walk, I walked with a limp. And just so you know, when I came out of the surgery, my knee hurt. There was pain as well. That's the thing about healing sometimes. My knee is better now, but I've still got to say that every now and again it reminds me. There's this little reminder every now and again, I'll pivot on my knee and something will go pop or click and it doesn't hurt particularly, but it just says, Dave, there's, you know, you've got a past. And so with this healing God who heals us, sometimes there's some things involved with healing. Sometimes it's pain. Sometimes there's a limp that results from the healing that we've had. And that in itself, although it may be frustrating, is a part of his plan sometimes with his healing. You see, God, when he heals us, he doesn't do a half job at it. I had a friend of mine I played rugby with, and he had hurt his knee playing rugby, and he didn't have an operation. Instead, he just started cycling on his bike as much as he could, and that strengthened a lot of the muscles around his knee, but there was a ligament missing in the middle. It had just snapped. And eventually, he had to have an operation, because as much as he tried to do it himself and avoid what needed to be done deep down within his knee, he couldn't repair it himself. He could sort of get by to some degree, but he didn't have full use of it in any way, shape or form. God, our healer, heals intensively. He heals deeply. He heals extensively. But it's not what we always expect. Sometimes there's pain. Sometimes there's a lot of time in the healing. But sometimes we're left with a limp, which makes us think maybe we haven't been fully healed, but maybe it's a part of his plan. I don't know where you're at, and a talk like this could be really frustrating if you're sitting there going, well, I've had this physical thing that God's never healed me of, or I've had this other thing that God has never healed me of, even though I've asked him to, or I had this thing and I'm a little bit better, but I'm not 100% or whatever. Maybe there's more work that God will do. But the other reality is sometimes God has you where he wants you to be, because that is what you need most on your journey to wholeness. It may not be a complete healing of whatever it is that ails you as you see it. But this is what he does for us. And the interesting thing is he does it individually and he does it corporately. So he does it for the blind man in John 9 who's sitting there on the side of the road, who has other people walking past him every day saying things like, did he sin or was it his parents that he's blind? He'll take that individual, he will heal him. But then he's also the God, if you remember from verse 2 of our psalm, where it says that the Lord builds up Jerusalem, he gathers the exiles of Israel. So he works individually, but he works corporately, which means he works in you and you and you and you and me, but he also works in Macquarie Chapel. He works in us in some way as well, corporately. And so it's important for us this morning, I guess, to think about how we are as individuals with our health and where we need God to heal us and shine a light in us and do a work in us and maybe cause us to limp for a while. But there's also this question for us corporately as a church. Where is it that God needs to shine a light and do a work in us as a church? And it's actually a really good time to ask. Michael just prayed some things just then, which are things that we don't often talk about from the front, people leaving and all sorts of things. Where we've been after 3 years of COVID, and now's a good time to talk about some of these things. How are we as a church? I've got some things up there which are a list of things that are facets of our church, and they're not necessarily the heart of our church or the who we are corporately, the heart of us, but they are some of the things that are just the life of our church. And I'm not pointing to anything or anyone in particular. There's challenges for us at a leadership level and a staff level. There's challenges for us as a community, as a church. We're smaller than we were, and that places stresses and strains on us. One of them being finances. Please don't hear, I think if we focused on any one of these things, then we would do ourselves a disservice. But as we look at them broadly, there's something about the health of our church broadly where we have some struggles and we're not well. There's the building maintenance side of things, which is related to finance, related to community, related to the volunteers. The two things down the bottom are interesting things, aren't they? Evangelism. How we as a church look out to those around us. And when we are so busy doing the top four things, that the bottom two things, and I think this would show a lack of health and would grieve Jesus, and he would like to step in and help us with this, I believe. Things like evangelism, the good works, who it is that we are as a shining light in this community. Those things suffer as well, and so they're a part of the big picture of our lack of health. There's no doubt, and I think this was truer probably the most, maybe for 8:30, though I think also for 6:30, that we have as a church community, as God's people, been a little brokenhearted of late. We have had death, and I'm thinking particularly very much at 8:30, death and disease, but also we've had disruption and we've had dissatisfaction. We've had four D's at least, which maybe lead us to a potential of a fifth D, which is depression as a church. We've got some challenges. But the great thing is that we have this God who heals. And it's always confusing when you talk about individual versus corporate stuff, because the corporate is always made up of the individuals. And as we bring our own brokenness to this community, the more brokenness we each bring, the more we're broken as a community. And yet there's also this thing where if we have a good level of health as a community, when somebody, an individual, brings their brokenness, then we're able to be used by God to help heal them. The individuals can help heal the corporate can help heal the individual. It's this great way that God has set it up. But I want to encourage you. This is not designed to discourage. This is designed to show you there's a whole lot of hope. And so I want to remind us that God is our healer, and he heals intensively and deeply and extensively. That's who he is. And he has this. And we need to encourage each other to look to him corporately and individually throughout all of this. Just for a moment, let's go back to the beginning of Psalm 147. Remember, praise the Lord. How good it is to sing praises to our God. How pleasant and fitting to praise him. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the exiled Israel. He heals the brokenhearted. This is where we look to him and what he will do. And we ask him to step in. And we make ourselves available. We walk into the hospital knowing that there is going to be some pain. There's going to be some time. There's going to be a limp. There may even be a wheelchair for a while. That's a part of being changed by him. But he has this. And this is why Israel praised his name. You see, we can't heal ourselves. We often play a part in our healing, and we often play a part in each other's healings, but we can't heal ourselves. And we also can't build his church. Just as it makes it really clear in the Old Testament that God will build his people, Jesus makes it really clear to Peter, doesn't he? I will build my church, not you. You'll have a part to play. He makes that very clear in that passage. You've got a big part to play, Peter. But he says, I'll do it. It's the role that I have as the healer God. Now, in case you're wondering, can God really do this? Can God help us as individuals and us corporately as a church move forward into greater health and into good things? Is he able to do that? Then this is the perfect psalm. This is the psalm where he says, I have this place in my heart for the brokenhearted. This place in the heart for the brokenhearted where I will bind up their wounds. But we could ask the question, well, is he qualified to do that? And Psalm 147 says, oh, yeah. I've taken some bits out of it so that you can see, but if you want to read the full script there from verses 8 to 11, you get this picture. He determines the number of the stars and calls them by name. So if you're wondering if God's qualified to heal this little part of the world where you are or where we are, do you know we don't even know how many stars there are still? We've got no idea how far along that journey we are. And we, human beings, we have endeavored to name them as we find them. Arrogantly, having forgotten that he's already named them. That's the person we're dealing with. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. He supplies the earth with rain. There's this provider God that we looked at a few weeks ago that comes in here as well. He supplies the earth with rain. And then the end of our passage, not the end of the psalm, but verse 11 at the end of the passage, it says, the Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love. So Psalm 147 in summary says, God loves to heal if you're broken. It then says he can heal because he is all powerful. And then it says, and he delights when we look to him to heal us. It's a beautiful psalm. It's a beautiful picture. But what does it mean for us to put our hope in him, to trust in him at this time? Knowing that there might be pain, there might be a limp, there might be a wheelchair, there may be some sort of humbling. Well, the great thing is, Gail reminded us last week, isn't it? God hasn't forgotten us here at MacChap. He hasn't forgotten you. He sees us. He sees you. He's deeply invested and interested and engaged with you. No matter how much we, myself, has forgotten to be engaged or interested or invested in him, he's engaged, interested and invested in me and in you. And so we have this opportunity. God's all-powerful. He has a deep desire to see us all restored and made whole. Jesus loves us. He heals us intensively, deeply and extensively. But also, as our heart and our church grow in health, we're better equipped to be used by the healer God to help him to heal the world. We actually go from, I guess, being just a brokenness where we're very limited in what we can do to work with God, to being healed by him and shaped by him so that we can be in a place where we're used by him. But notice, I put the image on the right very intentionally. That image on the right, for some of us, it can be like, well, I'm so glad I'm not like that. I'm so glad I don't have a walking stick. I'm so glad I can walk okay. There was a guy in the Bible, do you remember him? He had this deep encounter with God. I won't give you his name, but it's in the Old Testament. And he has this deep encounter with God where he wrestles with God. Do you remember that? And after he wrestles with God, he's left with a limp. And this was a guy who really needed to understand that there were some limits. He needed to be reminded of his wrestling with God. It's a bit like scars, limps. I guess they're both related. It's that reminder of what we've had to go through. A reminder, perhaps, that keeps us centered, keeps us humble, even keeps us honest as well. To be a place of broken people who are in the process of being healed by God is important for us as individuals, but also corporately as a group. I think it's when we realize that this is actually who we are. We may not all have physical walking sticks, but we should all have emotional ones and spiritual ones. That it's with this posture, if you like, that we can be used by God, centered, humbled, and honest. So this week, because I love to give you something to do, what could you do this week that might be helpful in all of this? Well, I think one of the things is that it's really easy, like my friend, to deny that he had completely snapped one of the ligaments in his knee and just go cycling and try and overcome that in his own strength. That's something he could do. But the other thing that he could do is go to a specialist and listen to the specialist and say, what do I need to do in this situation? To which the specialist would say, well, let's get you on the table and cut you open and give you a limp for at least a time. That's what you need to do. And so for us, it's no difference, really. There is a specialist, and that we can go to him and we can ask him what it is that we need to maybe have him operate on in our lives, where it is that we need him to heal us. Because one of the things we're really, really good at is denying that we need healing, denying our brokenness. And that's why I like the picture on the right. This is who we should be. We should understand ourselves as broken people who are being healed by God. And so I'd encourage you this week to spend some time with God. If you want to read Psalm 147, verse 3 as you do it, and then sit with God and say, well, I believe I'm brokenhearted. Can you show me where and how it is that I might be able to be made whole? Sometimes just asking God to make you whole is all he needs to step in. And so I encourage you to endeavor to do that this week. If you haven't already, also endeavor you to pray for us as a church corporately. And certainly if you need prayer as an individual for healing in your own life, I'd love to have the opportunity to pray for you. Let me pray now. Heavenly Father, thank you for your amazing love for us. We thank you for your healing heart that wants to see us made whole. Lord, we also bring before you our church and recognize we've gone through some pretty hard times over the last few years. Help us to not jump in and try and fix things in our own strength, but rather help us to come to you for the healing where we need it, and for your guidance and your direction and for your specialist input. Lord, I just recognize that it's frustrating having a limp. It's frustrating being reminded of our limits. Lord, help us to develop a good attitude with that, I guess. When we're reminded of our limits, to be reminded that that you're God and that we're not. That we're broken, you're not. That we can't heal ourselves, but you can. So we commit these things to you. Pray, Lord, for this week that that you'd give us good time with you in our quiet times, in our walk with you, that we might sit with you and that you might open our eyes to where we need help. And we just thank you that you're a good God. In Jesus' name, amen.